This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk. In the history of the Royal Malta Yacht Club Rolex Middlesea Race, it has been rare for sailors from the Black Sea and Russia to compete in Europe. But today, in 2023, it is almost impossible. There is no independent press allowed in the Black Sea right now, where sailors are still sailing their boats. Relations between Russia and other European countries are distressed because of Russia's war against Ukraine. Here is my interview of Russian sailor Pavel Savinko in 2019 in Malta, and we were talking about Russian sailors from the Black Sea. This is Karen Lyle with Sailsport Talk, and I am in the Rolex Middlesea Race talking with Pavel Savinko. You are from Russia, and you just competed with your boat Mirabel in the Rolex Middlesea Race. Can you tell us a little bit about sailing in Russia on the Black Sea?
Sailing in the Black Sea is very interesting. I started sailing when I was really young, and my parents live in a small city, Anapa, and in this place we have interesting weather condition for sailing. It's one of the best places for sailing in Russia. Have many competition in this place. In one day we have the strong wind with a wave. Another day you have waves but light wind. Another day you have strong wind without waves. And every day we can expect a different weather condition. It's very nice for training, for sailing, and but the city is this, and not so much people in Russia in this, and also in this city sailing. Not too much sailors in Russia, and around 15 guys who start sailing in this city. But 10 of this guy was in Russian national team. 3 people was in Olympic Games, and 3 people world champions. And everybody Russian champions in this place. It's a really nice place for sailing in our country.
And you just competed in the Fastnet race as well.
This boat live all time in the Mediterranean. Our base for our boat in the middle of Sicily, it's a city, Licata. It's easy for delivery boat to Rolex competition in Europe. We just delivery boat to north of the Mediterranean for summertime, and the end of the season we come back and very close from Sicily to Malta.
Thank you very much for being on our show, and I appreciate you talking to us. This is Karen Lyle, Sailsport Talk.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
My hope for 2023 is that Russia will end the war in Ukraine, and our big news will be about Russian sailors once again being able to join other sailors in the world in friendly competition.
Thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network, and that music means it's 9:40 on a Tuesday, and we are joined by Karen Lyle from SailsportsTalk.com. Karen, how are we doing today?
We're doing great. Have an opportunity to share with you that I went to a very moving and significant film screening of the MTV documentary that's on the shortlist for the Academy Awards, Anastasia. And we have as guests the director and the hero of that documentary, as you know. And I'm looking forward to introducing them and us having a conversation.
Yes, we are joined by Anastasia Shevchenko, the hero of the MTV documentary called Anastasia, and the director, Sarah McCarthy. First of all, Anastasia Shevchenko, the first thing I think of is Sheva, Andrei Shevchenko for the Ukraine soccer team. No relation, right?
Good morning. Thank you for invitation. No relation. But, you know, Russia is so diverse. It's such a diverse country. I have a Russian name, Georgian second name, and Ukrainian surname. And I was born in Buryatia, which is distant region in Russia. So all the diversity of Russia in my name.
And Sarah, how did this all come together, the project and your direction of it? Hello, Sarah? Sarah's not with us. Sarah, are you with us?
So Anastasia, I'm going to add in this documentary basically documents your travel with your children across Russia to the Black Sea, where you did a burial at sea for your daughter. Can you tell us a little bit about the situation that led to your having to leave Russia and also this journey that you make in the documentary?
Well, I was a political activist in Russia, a member of Open Russia Civic Movement, and this movement was claimed to be undesirable, and I was the first to be arrested under this undesirable criminal case. I spent 2 years under house arrest, and in a week after my arrest, my daughter died in the hospital. And that's a very tragic story. They didn't let me go and see her and take care of her in the hospital. So she was dying alone. And the film is about the moment of us, me and my two children, my mom, scattering the ashes of my elder daughter, Alina, in the Black Sea, in the boat. And I'm really grateful to the film director, Sarah McCarthy, for the idea to share that moment with the audience, to say how much people sacrifice in the fight for democracy in Russia.
We do have Sarah McCarthy with us now, the director of the film. And Sarah, as we are hearing from Anastasia, it's a moving, a tragic story. How did you try to put it onto film and tell that story?
Hello, thank you so much for having us. So from the very first moment that I met Anastasia, I knew that I had a big responsibility to tell her story with all of the truth and the simplicity that it deserves. And there are a lot of challenges. You know, we were filming in Russia at a time when Putin was locking down opposition in preparation for the war. So Anastasia was being followed by the FSB. You know, our Russian crew were at very real risk. Our cinematographer, he's actually spent 100 days in pretrial detention for making another film that the regime didn't like. So we were very cautious. We worked with professional safety advisors to ensure that we had a very strict protocol on what would happen if the crew were stopped. And, you know, my Western passport protects me when it comes to telling these kinds of stories. But Russian citizens taking these sorts of risks, it's a totally different situation for them. And everybody knew exactly what to do if the Russian crew were arrested. And thankfully, nothing happened. You know, we filmed on a very small camera, a Canon C70, which you can pass off as an amateur camera. And that was going to be our cover story, that we, you know, were just a family on holiday going sailing if we did get stopped.
Sarah, when you were filming the boat burial at sea, in the burial at sea from the sailboat, which was probably under a 30-foot sailboat, did you have two boats, or was the whole crew on one boat? Can you tell us about the logistics of that?
Yeah, sure. So we had a boat, and we had a drone, and a very talented drone pilot. So the drone was flying alongside sometimes, or flying overhead other times. And that's how we get some of those wider shots. And you know, the ocean was a huge part of this story. My favorite moments in the film take place on the ocean. You know, Alina's ashes are scattered into the ocean. And the final shot of the film is Anastasia swimming in the sea. And what I see in that shot, this beautiful aerial shot of Anastasia, you know, looking like a little frog doing breaststroke. And we're very, very high up on a drone. And, you know, I think we all start out swimming in our mum's tummies, you know, and what that shot symbolizes for me is Anastasia is swimming in a sea where she's just scattered the remains of her eldest daughter. And it feels like the kind of moment that is transcendental in a way that doesn't really happen, I think, unless the ocean is involved in a particular way. You know, life began in the ocean. We emerged from the ocean. The ocean is a place where we can all go to sort of cleanse ourselves and replenish ourselves and just get back to nature and remember what it's like to be a human being, a free human being in the natural world.
Anastasia, as well, thinking about going to the Black Sea and whether you go through, you know, the Crimea or Yalta, or even if you go through Bulgaria to Varna, but how perilous was it for you as a citizen to have this and then have a Western film crew with you? How precarious was it?
Well, I lived in Rostov-on-Don, the city on the border with Ukraine, mm-hmm. and it takes not much time, actually, to get to the Black Sea. This is a place where we spend a lot of happy hours, happy days with my children, with Alina, with Vlada and Misha. And that's why we decided to say goodbye to my elder daughter exactly there. And you can hear from me in the film, I say many things about water and the sea itself, because it's kind of a moment when you feel that harmony with nature. It's something that helps to wash away your sadness, your negative emotions, your guilt and all that stuff. And you really, as Sarah said, feel free. And that is a moment now with my daughter. Everywhere I see water, I feel like she's next to me this mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And now we are here in California with a screening, and there is an ocean. And every time I see it, I feel like my daughter is next to me.
Mm-hmm. I so appreciate, Sarah and Anastasia, the work that you did in bringing this story to us, and I did see the other films that are part of the screening. I know that you're on the short list for the Academy Awards for this. Certainly, if I had a vote, I would put a vote for you to have this go well. Are you a little bit on bated breath, waiting to see how this might come out?
Yeah, of course. You know, being shortlisted for an Academy Award is beyond my wildest dreams for this film. It's such a humbling honor. And, you know, really, this film is about a mother coming to terms with the impact speaking out against Putin has on her and on her children. And you know, Anastasia she's using the film to galvanize the Russian diaspora in over 90 cities to coordinate a global protest. And they've got two coming up, one in January and one in February, to coincide with the anniversary of Putin's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And really, that's our focus now, is to use this story about how the realities of how Putin treats his own people, let alone Ukrainians, to mobilize the Russians all over the world. And, you know, Anastasia is doing an incredible job. We've been on this world tour in London, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Vilnius in Lithuania, Tel Aviv in Israel, Copenhagen in Denmark, Berlin in Germany, yeah. and so many other cities around the world, where, you know, people are deeply affected by Anastasia's story. You know, to be separated from your child at a moment when your child needs you the most, it's like a kind of torture, you know, and I think it's very revealing about just how brutal Putin is. And since Anastasia has escaped, the regime have put her on a wanted list. When the shortlisting was announced, they changed her suspended sentence to one of real prison terms. And Anastasia was telling me, you know, the details in the court documents are so specific. It's like, handcuff her, take her in a convoy of police to a penal colony in the middle of nowhere. You know, this is an absolutely brutal regime, and you know, we're so grateful to have the opportunity to amplify Anastasia's story, because, you know, what can protect her is notoriety. If people know who she is, if they know about her story, if they know what she's been through already, then it's harder for the regime to move against her in a way. You know, it's very easy to, you know, to harm people. And Putin doesn't respect the boundaries of the borders of Russia. He attacks his enemies all over the world. There are so many enemies of the Russian state who are dying and disappearing at the moment in highly suspicious circumstances. And the way that we can protect Anastasia is just to tell her story as far and as wide as possible.
Well,
so thank you for letting us do that.
Yes, and we're out of time, but that is Sarah McCarthy, the director of the film Anastasia from MTV Documentary Films, and of course, the protagonist, the main topic there, Anastasia Shevchenko. This is on the list for an Academy Award, the short list right now. Congratulations on the film, you two, and thank you so much for telling the story.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Karen, very interesting guest, and thanks for coming by again.
Well, it is my pleasure to share the stories that need to be told.
SailSportsTalk.com for more. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline.